Well, good morning, Life Point Church. Good to see you all here today. If we have not had the chance to meet yet, because this is your first time or you're new with us, my name is Lee, and I'm the teaching pastor here, and I get to do the majority of the teaching, and really, really glad and honored to have you here today. We are in the middle of our series this summer that we've called Practicing, the Art of Becoming More Like Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but it's just not natural for me to walk up and just start living like Jesus every day. I need some practice in that area. And so what we're doing over the course of the summer is we're looking at what are some of the habits and rhythms and just disciplines that were a part of the life of Jesus that we see written in the scriptures, and to see how can we, as his followers, that's what Christians are, we are claiming that we are following Jesus and trying to live our lives like here on earth. What were some of the things that were a part of his life? And so we've looked at things like how Jesus really valued and memorized scripture, right? That he was devoted to God's word and the Bible. And so we talked about that week one and really how all of that flows out of this abiding relationship we have with Jesus. That everything that we do flows out of this relationship with him. That you may come from a religious background or church background, and oftentimes when we think of religion or you think of church, you think of rules and what you're to do and what you shouldn't do and what you ought to do. And rather than focusing on that, what we've said is it really flows out of a relationship. It's not so much about the rules and about religion and about much as it is about a relationship, and out of that relationship comes the way that we live our lives. Think of any healthy relationship in your life. Hopefully you have some healthy relationships, whether it's friendships or your spouse, whatever it may look like, right? Because of that relationship that you have, there's our habits and things that you do together. And so for us, we're looking at what are these habits that are a part of the life of Jesus. So memorizing the word, like scripture, we talked about generosity, we talked about prayer, fasting, and today we're going to talk about community, how community was such a vital part of the life of Jesus. And so in thinking about that, what we've said each week is that in order for us to become like Jesus, it requires us to practice the life of Jesus. So if we want to become like him, then we will need to practice some of the things that he did. And practicing those things, it helps us to look more and more like him. And so practicing reading our Bibles, practicing praying, practicing fasting, practicing generosity, practicing community is what we're going to look at here today. And what was really cool was last weekend, last Sunday, we took our family to go see Dude Perfect, okay? They came to Columbus, and so we love some Dude Perfect. I'm not sure if any of you took your family or your kids or whatever it was, but our kids, we had a blast going there. They've watched them on YouTube for years, and so we took them to go do this. And so what was really kind of fun was when we went to grab dinner, we went to a Panera nearby, the Schottenstein Center, and while we're there, we randomly ran into, Michelle and I, a friend from college. I had seen him since we moved from Dayton. They live in Dayton, in the Dayton area. His name's Craig, and we just saw, it's just like, Craig, what are you doing here? And he's got his Dude Perfect stuff on. We're like, obviously, you're bringing the kids. We're going to Dude Perfect, right? And so it was great, like, smiling, hugging, catching up. Like, we were just excited to see each other. It was such a really cool reminder of that. And then just yesterday, we were down in Dayton visiting Michelle's folks, my in-laws, because it's our youngest son's birthday today. He turned 7. And so we were doing some stuff with grandma and papa. And we were at some little, you know, game place, whatever it is. And we randomly ran into, again, some of our old friends from college. And it's like, man, Lord, what are you trying to teach us here in this moment, right? Like that this idea of just people that God puts in your life at certain points that just really encourage you. And here's what, as I think about this topic of community, I think it's one that we can all really resonate with. Because if you're an adult, I mean, if you're at any age, community's hard. Like relationships, friendships, those are difficult things. And I found for me as an adult, they're really hard. They're much harder than I felt like if you're in school, whether it's you're in elementary age or middle school, high school, college, it just seemed easier because you're around a people, you're around a bunch of people who are generally the same age as you, maybe the same, they live in the same neighborhood as you, they are into the same things as you, you're on teams together, you randomly run into each other, I mean, especially in college. And Michelle and I found it really hard after college to just try to find the kinds of relationships that we had while we were in school. And so like meeting and seeing our old friends was just such an encouraging reminder for us that God puts people in your lives at a particular time for a particular purpose. And while we don't always know that and what that looks like, we are grateful for how God actually works and puts people in our lives when he does. But that doesn't make it any easier. All right, some of you, you maybe have grown up here in Plain City, around here. You grew up here, maybe you went away for school, and now you're back. But I still imagine, like, cultivating relationships and friendships is just difficult. It's hard. Whether it's your work responsibilities, you've got things at home, people move and change. Like, life is different. If you've moved to this area like we have, and you're starting over, you're trying to find new relationships, that can be challenging and hard because of, again, all the things that are going on. Our community's growing. There are new houses going up all around us, but that doesn't mean that those houses are filled with people thriving in relationships. That we live in maybe a day and age where more people are more connected than ever. I imagine if I was to ask you how many friends you have on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, connections, followers, like there may be in the thousands for some of you. And yet you may still be lonely. You see, if we live in a day and age where you can be more connected than ever, you can have more relationships than ever, why is it that study after study after study after study tells us that today's age, people are more lonely, they're more depressed, they're more anxious, they're more suicidal, they're more disconnected relationally than ever before, since they've been trying to study these kinds of things. And so I think we live in a day where people are craving genuine relationships, genuine friendships. People that you can, you know, rub shoulders with, lock arms with, that you're gonna walk through life with. And we struggle with that. I've struggled with that. It can be really hard. And so today we're going to see, as we look at Jesus, why really community is such an important practice in his life, and why I would want to entreat you today that it would be an important practice in your life as well. And so what we're going to see today is kind of the big idea, is that we love like Jesus because we're loved by Jesus. You see, I'm going to talk about how Jesus calls us to love others. But I want you to hear that loving others isn't just something that you've just got to do, but it's an overflow of what you're receiving. That the reason why we love like Jesus is because we've been loved by him. That it's what we've received and experienced from God that we then get to pass on to others. To other people in our lives, to other people in our circles, that we want to pass that on to others. And so that's what Jesus is going to tell us, is he's going to say, I want you to love, but the way you love comes out of how you've been loved by me. So we're going to be in John chapter 13. If you've got a Bible, we'd love for you to turn there. John chapter 13. One of the things that we'll see in this section is it's right around this whole, the next few chapters in John. John focuses on what's called the Passion Week, kind of the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry before he goes to the cross. And up until this point, Jesus has been doing incredible miracles. He's been teaching, and he's been telling his followers that he's going to die. He's not trying to surprise them. He's like, hey, guys, I'm going to be delivered over. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die, but the good news is I'm coming back to life. But they still weren't quite getting it. And so here, he's at the Last Supper, right, where we maybe have heard that before. And so Jesus is going to wash his disciples' feet. He's going to get down and stoop to the level of a servant, which this was a time where they walked around with sandals and their feet were disgusting, right? They're just gross. Like, if you wear sandals all day and walk around the woods and walk around, you know, dirt, gravel, like, your feet are gross. And not only that, sometimes the things you step in, too, as you're going along that way. And imagine you got gross feet. Like, it for Michelle and I sometimes, when we've, like, worn flip-flops or sandals most of the day, but we haven't showered, but we get in bed, and it's like, there's just something about having dirty feet when you're in your bed, right? When you're clean sheets. So we'll just wash our feet off. We maybe just wash our feet off. And there's something about clean feet. It just feels better. So these disciples, right, they've got nasty, gross feet. And typically the kind of lowest person socially, or maybe a servant in this household, they would come and they would wash the disciples' feet. They would wash their guests' feet. And so Jesus, God in flesh, King of Kings, gets down on a knee, wraps the towel, and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples, wiping off the dirt, manure, growth, like whatever's on there, right? He's wiping it off. And to really show his followers that there's no task that is beneath him. There's nothing that he's not willing to do to serve his people, his followers. And it's on the heels of that kind of servant leadership that Jesus gives his disciples that he's going to tell them here in John 13. He's going to tell them a couple of things around loving others. And so here's where we're going with that, is we're going to see together we receive the love of Christ, together we reflect the love of Christ, and then lastly, together we reveal Jesus by our love. So let's look at that first point around how together we receive the love of Jesus. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. See, what Jesus is starting off, before I start telling you, you need to love one another, is Jesus tells his followers, hey, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, that is how you love one another. It's like Jesus is reminding us and his followers that they need to be loved before they love. Jesus is saying, hey, how I want you to love, I want it to come out of what you've received and experienced from me and how I have loved you. You see, we live in a world that we like to try to define what love is, what it looks like. And oftentimes, the way that we think of love is what we have experienced ourselves. But it's like Jesus is saying, hey, here's how, when I tell you to love, I don't want you to try to imagine, to think of, I don't want you to go to a feeling or an emotion or what you've experienced or what you've seen around you in the culture. He's saying, hey, here's what I want you to do. When you think of love, and when I'm calling you to love, here's what I want you to see. I want you to see how I loved you. How I have loved you is how I want you to love others. John loves this concept of love so much that in his letter, 1 John, that he's writing, he again talks about love. And you remember this where he says, we love because he first loved us. And then he tells us that God is love. God is love. That part of the very nature and character of God is love. And what he's telling his followers, his disciples, what he's telling you and me is for us to think about how we love each other, the example, the model that we look to, is Jesus. As I have loved you, that is how I want you to love. How did Jesus love his disciples? Well, he spent time with them. He chose them, right? He was walking along, right? And he said, hey, you, come follow me. He went to fishermen. These were all teenagers for the most part. Most of them, they believe, most theologians think that these disciples were anywhere from, 13 to 16 to 17. Like, they were relatively young in age. Calls these young men to follow him. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were, zealots working for the politics of the day and age, and they were a bunch of nobodies. He didn't go to the smartest school. He didn't, go to the Harvards or the Yales or the great schools of that day and age, the rabbinical schools of Pharisaical traditions where he took dropouts, people who couldn't make it that far, junior varsity kind of followers of God, and he calls them and says, hey, follow me. He chose them, invested in them. He ate with them, right? How many meals did Jesus share with him? He shared so many where he'd sit down with not only his disciples, but others. He would connect with them over food, over drink, and they would spend time together. He served his disciples. He taught them about the kingdom and about the Bible. Right? Oftentimes he would be out teaching to the crowds, and then his disciples would be like, hey, Rabbi, tell us, what did that mean? And so he would unpack for them. Here is what this parable was about. Or they'd be walking along, and he would ask them pointed questions. He would correct them when they would say, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn and eradicate the world of these Samaritans? He would be like, gosh, guys, you're not quite getting it. No. He'd be patient with them. That there was this diverse group of people that didn't always get along with one another. They didn't like it when a couple of the disciples said, Lord, who's the greatest disciple here? Which of us is the best? Who's the goat of the disciples here? Jesus, who's sitting at your right? Who's at your left? And they're looking at each other with indignation, like, who are these guys thinking they are? Jesus was patient with his disciples. He served them. He loved them. He empowered them. He said, hey, I want you to go village to village, healing and teaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God. So they went out two by two, and they came back and, Lord, we marveled. Demons shuddered at our names. We healed people. We cast them out. We can't believe this. He says, Dad, don't get so caught up in the things of this world, that you just forget that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Right? He's wanting them to be reminded of how significant it is that as they think of how they love others, they remind themselves that they have been loved by Jesus, that we have been loved by Jesus. And so to help us think through this, I want to do us a little demonstration for us around that, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to have the lights go dark in here, and I'm going to help show you really when we think about the love of Jesus, here's how we're first to think about it, okay? All right, Dan, let's see if we can get this going here. The lights are going to go off on us. It's going to get dark, and then I get to see everybody on their phone. That's great. Good. Thank you all. That was really my trick here was how can I, no. So I'm shining my flashlight on my phone here, and here's why, as we think about love, here's what's going on with the love of Christ, is you're not producing this light, you're receiving it right now. And so the love of Christ is first meant to be received. He says, as you think about passing on, so imagine love of God like this light coming from this flashlight from my phone here. And so as he's saying, for you to pass this on, you first need to receive it. Right? You are not producing light on your own. You are merely receiving this light from me. And that's how he wants you to think about the love of God. That love is first meant to be received before you do anything with it. All right, Dan, you can kick him up back on. And so as you think about love, you cannot give what you have not received. You cannot pass on the love of Christ to others if you have not first received the love of Christ yourself. And so that's where we're going to go next, to see not just we receive this love, but we reflect it. Look with me in verse 34. Again, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. If you notice, repetition, normally it's for emphasis. And so just in that one verse, twice, Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to love one another. I want you to love one another. As I have loved you, you love one another. That he wanted his disciples to reflect back to one another the love that they had received from him. So, but what made this new? He says, this is a new commandment I give to you. If you know Bible or you know your Old Testament, and you remember at some point in Jesus' ministry, he had a lawyer come up to him and say, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? Trying to trap him. And Jesus kind of says to them, he says, well, you know, you tell me. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. He says, you've done that. That's right. That is the way that we get to receive eternal life, is through love. Loving God and loving others. And so this wasn't necessarily new. This wasn't like they ever heard this before, to love other people. And the Old Testament captures in Leviticus, right, that we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Deuteronomy is the Lord, O God, the Lord is one. Love with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This wasn't a new concept. So what was new about this command from Jesus? You see, rather than telling them, Jesus was saying what was new about this was, I'm going to be the example for you of what this looks like. This new command is Jesus is saying, in me, all the Old Testament laws have their fulfillment in me. They were pointing to me. They were pointing to the way that I was going to love you and love others. And so what is new about this command is he's saying, hey, I'm going to show you the way to love. And so now it's not about, again, what you must do in order to experience eternal life. It's about first receiving that love from Christ and then being able to pass that on to others, to reflect that to others. And so as we think about this, it's pretty powerful. How can we love one another? How do we do that? Well, that's where so much in the New Testament are these one another's, right? We love one another. We serve one another. We bear with one another, one another's burdens. We honor one another. We forgive one another. We confess our sins to one another. You see, community, life groups, the way that we call, what we call them here at LifePoint, life groups are this great environment where we get together and practice these one another's. That we get to practice loving each other, loving people we disagree with at times, loving people who look differently than us, loving people who are in a different stage than us, loving others who frustrate us at times, loving others who are walking through seasons of difficulty in their life, forgiving others whenever they have offended you or said something to hurt you, not just walking out and leaving, but showing love to to one another. You see, as we think of this, it's Jesus is telling us to reflect that love back to him. Another little demonstration to help us to see that. I think we've got one. Dan's going to get the lights here. And what I want you to see is, again, the power of a mirror. Now, you know this, right? You've got a mirror. And what does this mirror do? This mirror is not producing any light on its own, is it? But what is it doing? It is reflecting the light that is shining on it. And it is turning and being pointed and shining that light outward towards someone else. You see, if I just pointed at you guys, there's nothing to shine back. There's no light going back. But as soon as I get the light, the mirror pointed at the source of light, I can then reflect that light out towards others. You see, when Jesus is calling us to love others, he's saying, I don't want you to produce the love within yourself, but as you are receiving love from me, you practice reflecting that love towards others. We reflect that love back to each other. Thanks, Anne. You can turn those back on. And so as you experience forgiveness from God, you extend forgiveness to others. As Jesus walks with you through the difficulties and hardships in your life, you're able to share that with others. As God comforts you in your hurt and your heartache, you get to comfort others in their heartache. As Jesus has encouraged you to continue persevering in difficulty, you get to encourage others as they're continuing on in difficulty. What begins to happen is love is an overflow out of you, what you have been receiving within you. You experience that love in powerful ways that you can then reflect it back towards others. That's what that means. He's saying, I want you to love one another as we have been loved from him. And that also means that at times you're going to experience relationships and people that God's going to send out. Like think of the love. He sent Jesus out, right, to go on a mission that he was telling his believers, I'm leaving here. I'm going to be going. I'm going to go back to be with the Father. You cannot come with me, but yet I want you to continue on in this way, loving others. Because ultimately, we're extending the kingdom of God towards others in very powerful and profound ways. And the reason we can extend that love is because how Christ loved us. Reflecting that love towards one another. And life groups is that place where we get to practice that. Right? Whereas we cultivate those relationships. And maybe people go on and they start new life groups. Right? People come and go within those spaces, but because God is calling us to go and share and reflect that love to others. Sometimes that means with the group of people that you're with. Sometimes that means going to another group and reflecting that love to others too. The beautiful thing is no matter where we are and what we're doing, we get to, as believers, love one another. And here's what happens with that. Here's what happens. The third point shows up. He says, as we do this, guess what? We reveal Jesus by our love. Verse 35, by this all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's like Jesus is saying, how is the world going to know you're my followers? How you love. How you love one another. The world is going to know you are my followers by the way you love. By the way you love. Not in what you know. Not in your Bible history, not in your generosity statements, not in your church attendance, you know. But he says the way the world's going to know, the world will know you are following me by how you love others. I get to see that you have been loved by me, how you love others. Jesus says it's our love for one another that reveals our love for him. Like, think of this. Like, what's Chick-fil-A known for? Great chicken sandwiches, right? The original chicken sandwich. Maybe great customer service too, who knows, right? What are they known for? What's Archie Griffin known for, right? He's the only person to win the Heisman Trophy twice. Incredible. If you ask around, what's Plain City known for? You hear, is that where Der Dutchman is, right? I tell people all the time, I'm in Plain City. Oh, isn't that where Der Dutchman is? I'm like, yeah, that's exactly where it's at. What's Life Point known for? What's your life group known for? What are you known for? You see, what Jesus is trying to help his followers to see is what I want you to be known for is how you love each other. Not just love the world, not just love your enemies, not just love your neighbor, but how you love each other as followers of Jesus. That your love for one another is going to be evidence that you have been loved by Christ. that your love for one another reveals Jesus, that the world will begin to see Jesus in your love for each other. Because, right, that's another thing that light does. It reveals. Right, let's see this. I think we got one last little light demonstration for you. I got one more hiding for you, but this will be a good one here, right? It's dark. I still see the phones. That's great. Keep taking notes. Right, but in the darkness, you can't see anything. And this is how God described it in Genesis. The world was dark and formless and void, and it was without really a light shining on it. John starts off his gospel, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he tells us that then there was a great light that God sent into the world in Jesus. And what does light do? It reveals what's in here. You can see clearly. And so what our love for one another begins to do is it reveals Jesus. Reveals Jesus. And how you love in your life group and how you love other believers, people see Jesus in that. When you get cars lined up outside your neighborhood on a Tuesday night, hey, what's going on here, man? Hey, it's just every week our life group from church gets together and we connect and we share stories and we dig into the Bible together and we pray for each other. It's the best night of the week for me. Do you have something like that in your life? I mean, it just begins to be like, man, that sounds interesting. Every week I see you guys getting together and, oh, we serve. Hey, our group got together and we packed some meals for DNA, or we helped out this homeless shelter, or we went and served, or, you know, went to the senior community and did something. Like, we just, they see you loving one another and loving others, and that, and ultimately is a reflection, and it shows Jesus. It reveals Jesus by your love for one another. And so we get to love because we have been loved. You see, biblical community is where we prove to be disciples of Jesus. See, our life groups is the evidence and testimony that we're in fact following Jesus. Now, if you're not in a life group, does that mean you're not a follower of Jesus? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's not what it says. But what I would tell you is that if you want to better follow Jesus, the best place for you to do that is in community with other Jesus followers. If you want to know what Jesus is like, surround yourself with people that are trying to pursue him to look more like him, that can help you look more like him together. Whether you're new to your spiritual journey or whether you're checking this out or whether you even say, I'm not quite a follower of Jesus yet, we'd love for you to be in community. You don't have to be a Christian to be in a life group. But we want to surround you with other Christians so that you can experience and have the love of Christ reflected onto you as they point you back to him and what God has done in our lives. Every believer in here can give a testimony to how God has been so gracious to them, how God has loved them and showed up for them, and how they've had other believers walk with them in hardships and difficulties and celebrations, that we're not meant to do this on our own. In our very individualized culture and society, it's about me and Jesus and my Bible, coming to church, sitting here, and then going back home, listening to your own worship music, and just going about your life and not being in community. And Jesus is saying, hey, the best place for you to grow in your relationship is in community, is in community. And while I'll say we won't do it perfectly, you're going to be in groups of people that you may not gel with right away, that may take some time, but we get to practice loving one another. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And so one of the best ways we can grow in our relationship with Jesus is by being in community. And so if you're not in one, I would love for you to check one out this summer. We have, 12 or 14 that meet all throughout Plain City and north of town, south of town. Like we've got life groups meeting, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an 18 to 25-year-old, whether you're an empty nester or a young family, or you're just trying to figure it out. We've got life groups for every stage of life. But really, we want to group people together that get to do life together. They get to share in the heartache, but get to celebrate in the joys. And together, we get to pursue Jesus and reflect his love towards one another. And so in the bottom of the message notes, I've got some links there you can click on to learn more about life groups, but also to see a list of them that are meeting all throughout our community here. And we'd love to help you take that step. At the end of the service, back of Guest Central, if you say, hey, I'd love to learn more about those, come and connect with David, our campus life pastor, and he would love to help share with you more about ways you could connect in our life groups. Because, man, so much happens in them. One of the baptisms we got to share during the first service was a student who was sharing that She was new to faith, put her faith in Christ back in May, and has since then realized that she had people in her life that weren't encouraging her to walk with Jesus. And since then, she's surrounded herself with other believers, godly men and women that are encouraging her. And she says, it's changed my life. So that's what we need. We need to surround ourselves with other people who aren't perfect, but who are pursuing a perfect Savior. So in summary, we love like Jesus because we're loved by Jesus. So that together we can receive the love of Jesus, because we cannot give to others what we first have not received. And then together we reflect the love of Jesus to one another in community. And then lastly, we reveal Jesus to the world by our love for one another. And so just to kind of begin to wrap this up, I have one more little light demonstration for us. One of the fun things that gets celebrated in the month of July, at least, you know, in my world, Christmas in July, right? We don't got to wait till December. There's Christmas in July, whether it's your movies or whatever that may be. But thinking about Christmas, I love Christmas. It's one of my favorite holidays. But another thing I love about Christmas is the Christmas lights, right? So on Christmas, you got your Christmas lights over here. And what I love about these Christmas lights is they were designed for a particular purpose, to shine brightly. But here's the deal. I could take these lights and I can tell them to shine. Come on, light up. But they're not. I'm telling them to. They can try as hard as they want to shine brightly, but they are unable to. They can't do it. They can't produce the light, can they? You see, what they need, if I got the right end, let's see, nope, I'll go this way. See, what they need, no, I did have the right ends. I had that. There we go, sorry. See, what they need is they need to be plugged into the right power source. You see, they need to receive power in order to light up. And then once they light up, you've got this diverse collection of colors that shine brightly. And this to me signifies what a life group is meant to be. A group of lights that are different, but yet together, making a beautiful array, glowing. And what they are doing is they are reflecting and passing through what is being received in them. They are receiving power. Well, in the way that we receive the love of Christ, we get to shine that to others. But the other thing I love about Christmas lights are, you can connect them, can't you? And so you can connect lights. Oh, I'll fix that one. That one didn't happen. You hate when that happens, right? Oh, well. You guys know where I'm going with it. Now, some of your life groups may be like this, okay? Some of you are shining brightly, and others of you got some work to do, okay? Hey, I didn't do that first service, but I was too rough with them. But anyways, right, you connect these lights together, and what do? The more that they get connected together, the more that they shine. There's this collection of lights that happen. Maybe it's because I keep throwing them on the ground. Don't worry, I got some more. We're going to be here all day, just connecting Christmas lights together. And so what ends up happening, right, is as these groups are connected to power, they're receiving power, they are shining, they are fulfilling the purpose for which they have been created for, to shine brightly, to show others. And what's awesome about this is as this collection of lights come together, right, something beautiful happens. They reveal, they glow. And I just think of like our community as what it would look like if each life group represented this string of lights. And the more life groups that we have, this more light that we get to shine in our communities. Right, in Plain City and in Marysville and in Hilliard and in West Jeff and in London and wherever God is calling us to go, that we get to go and to shine the light of Christ into those spaces. Not that these lights are trying to come up with more willpower, but because they're just passing on what is being they're receiving. And that's what we get to do as followers of Christ, is we get to shine brightly the love of Christ to the world around us. And that's what community is so beautiful about, because in that, we get to reveal our Savior, Jesus. So would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me? I think before we kind of go on, and we're going to sing and celebrate all that God has been up to and what he's doing. But as I think about these lights, and the first question I kind of ask, that we together get to share what we have first received, that maybe a step for some of you today is that you first need to receive the love of Christ in your life. that me telling you to love others, it's actually impossible for you to do that because you have not first received the love of Christ in your life. And so today, as you think about your own life, what you get to experience by God is that God knows everything about you. He knows every thought, every motive, every decision, everything that you have ever done. And yet, he still loves you. He still sent Jesus here to this earth to live a sinless life on your behalf and to die a death, taking your punishment and your penalty for your sin, and in return offering you new life in him. That because you get to receive the love of Jesus without judgment, without shame, that you are freely forgiven, that you get to walk a new life to shine brightly in the world because of what God is doing in your life. So maybe today, as you would say, hey, the first step that I need to take is I need to receive that love. It's as easy as A, B, C. It's one is admitting that you have sinned against God, that you have, rather than loving God with all of your heart, you have loved yourself. That rather than putting him first, you put other things first. The Bible calls that sin. And it's okay that we can confess that and admit that because God already knows it. We've all sinned and fallen short of that. But we get to be belief. Believe that not only have I sinned, but I believe that God sent a Savior for me, that he lived a sinless life for me, and he died on the cross to pay for all of my sin. Not just some of it, not just most of it. He paid for it all. And I get to confess that Jesus is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I'm confessing that I want to live my life for him. And so if that's you, if you would say, hey, that's the decision I want to make today to receive God's love, maybe your first step of faith is just to raise your hand up high and saying, that's me. I want to receive God's love today through Jesus. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? That's good. And so as I think about for the rest of us here, that maybe as you think about in your life, a question you can ask God is, God, how am I doing at showing your love to others? How am I doing at reflecting your love to the world around me? God, would you use me to be a light in my home, in my neighborhood, in my school, in my workplace, my family? God, wherever you would send me, may I reflect your love to those around me, showing and sharing the love of Christ because of what I've experienced from you. God, I love you, and God, I thank you for inviting us into this space that we don't have to do life alone. We get to do it with you and with brothers and sisters in Christ who we need. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.